Hey everybody, welcome to The Rant again. Today, it's Monday, we're, you know, getting into fall season.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wake up.
I think almost all of us have socks on now,
because
the weather's getting cold.
Well, I'm wearing socks.
Chris is sockless, so.
I'm still not wearing
socks. I got socks on today, so.
Chris won't wear socks until it starts snowing, you know?
Like, hey, just so you guys know.
Knee deep snow, too.
Chris was in Calgary, there was inches of snow, and he was wearing like suede loafers with no socks. People are pulling up in like,
you gotta
winter
commit.
Pants and
you gotta
boots.
Commit. You gotta commit.
Yeah, we're wearing snowsuits. This guy's wearing no socks.
Just so you guys know, I know you're probably gonna be making fun of me and stuff, but if I look like a robot, it's literally because I hurt my neck.
No, that's how you usually are.
So many jokes.
So today,
the main question is how did that happen though?
I really don't know.
You should ask your wife.
All right. Let's talk. I think we're all in agreement. I don't even think we need to talk about or discuss what we're going to be talking about. It's simple. It's a trendy topic. A lot of people do not know about it, and it's a IFRS 9.
Oh, right? You got it.
The
IFRS 9.
You know, we've been practicing that. IFRS 9. David.
First chop, man. That was beautiful. IFRS 9. Yeah.
So Hugo, tell us, what is it?
This is a topic that's slowly coming onto the media, but we actually touched on it months ago. When was it? Like February, maybe?
Something
February,
like that.
At the beginning of the year,
it was very difficult to get any information about this. And I talked about it to a group of investors, and we've got a little bit more information now. So in a nutshell, IFRS 9 essentially are some new accounting rules and standards that were introduced at the beginning of this year across, you know, all of the world.
It's international.
It's international accounting rules. So obviously it's going to affect Canada. Yeah. And what that means for lenders and financial institutions is now they have to manage their book of mortgage portfolio, their mortgage business. They have to manage who it has been delinquent, and they also have to create models to determine who might become delinquent. In addition to that, they have to increase the reserves of money that they hold in-house to, you know, offset any losses. At the end of the day, what that means for consumers is typically when your mortgage renewal comes up, you get a document. If you like the terms, you sign it, and that's the end of that. They don't ask you generally, you know, if you're still employed for a pay stub. It's just a quick signature. You don't even need to go to the branch. That's been the history forever.
So to pretty much summarize, what's going to be the new norm is that in order for the lender to determine how much capital they should keep associated to a certain loan, they need to reevaluate the risk.
That's exactly it. They're
it's just that simple.
Risk.
It's that, now, the real question, and Dave, I know you've been doing a lot of investigation over this, it's how do you really determine the risk? I mean, is it a soft credit check? Is it, you know, brand new income docs? I mean, 5 years from now, a lot of things can change, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I can go paternal leave, right? Or I can become self-employed, or, you know, I may retire.
Yeah.
So now, funny enough, though, when we started the bank together, I don't remember if you remember this or not, but I used to question it all the time. Like, why don't people get underwritten when it comes to renewals? Like, well, I mean, like, to me, that's common sense. That's before I even knew anything about mortgages.
Well,
and it's become the norm. So,
well, it seems like, so now that they have to identify their risk per client, it's no longer portfolio risk only.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what we're hearing is, on renewal, people are going to have to do some kind of basic due diligence.
Well, let me interrupt you. It's not just hearing. We're seeing.
Well, I'll tell you what we're hearing, what we're seeing. But we're hearing it's going to be some soft credit check. Mm-hmm. And with that soft credit check, we'll determine if further action will be required. You know, and what can that further action be? It could be anything from, hey, here's a soft credit check. Here's the best offer. Congratulations. Or it could be, here's a soft credit check. You don't quite fit our model anymore. We now want your income documents. We want your asset verification, and on and on
Full out.
Now, what's happening? The reason why this hit our, you know, we figured this out in February was because we had two clients who approached us, clients that were not originally ours, but they approached us in a stress point. Both of them with the same lender had their mortgage called on renewal.
The lender not because said, sorry, guys, we're not renewing you. Find somebody else. You have 3 weeks.
Yeah, and these were clients with Beacon scores over 800.
And he's like, I've never missed a payment. Everything has been completely fine. The only rationale the lender really had was this particular lender wouldn't allow more than 4 properties in a portfolio. And this client now had 6, I think. And they said, you know, we did a soft hit. We saw way too many mortgages. You don't meet our criteria. You have to leave. You have to go somewhere else.
So let's okay. So that's scary.
Well, that's one. The other client was,
yeah, that was one.
He was residing in the property originally when he acquired that mortgage. Mm-hmm. He now moved into an investment property. They called him and they asked for him to voluntarily just answer a couple of questions. And he divulged that he was no longer residing there. And they said, we're no longer renewing your mortgage.
Because that lender probably doesn't do rental properties.
That lender specifically doesn't do rental properties. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this could be damaging to a lot of Canadians, a lot of families, that even investors that just, you know, are not ahead of the game or planning.
It could be very stressful. Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially if you're only being given 30 days. So what do you do? Like, are you going to be forced to sell? Are you going to have to go alternative routes? Are you going to maybe even plan ahead? Because if I know that a lot of my financial situation has changed and I'm a year away from renewal, maybe it's, you know, let's be proactive and see,
oh, yeah,
would I pass that stress test? Am I going to have an issue? And if I am, let's not wait until 30 days.
Well,
let's
you should immediately have a conversation with someone, you know,
yeah,
have a chat and see where you would stand. Actually, I got an email today. Someone specifically said, can you stress test my application to see if I would qualify? So I would say have a conversation first. And if there's a very good opportunity that you're not going to qualify on maturity and you're opening up yourself to a risk that you can't renew.
Right.
I think best way to do it is renew now. Take advantage of an early renewal.
Well, yes, and at the same time, you also got to prepare yourself for the inevitable.
Well, that's the thing.
Because it's not just now, it's next year too, right? And the year after that, and the year after that, and after that.
So back to that question, do we now start, and I've never been a fan of a 7 or 10 year mortgage,
mm-hmm,
but if...
Well, that might not be the solution. Again, no one's really, really talking about the IFRS 9 rules, but we have another situation where a client is 1 year into their 5 year term. This has just happened a couple of weeks ago, and their bank and that lender called the client up and asked them for their income documents again for an annual review.
Yeah, that was my... Was the that banks, my client you're talking about?
That was your client. Yeah, and the banks have the right to review your credit,
sure,
at any time they want. And if they don't like what they see, they can call the loan. And you can actually be subject for penalties and expenses.
That's always been the rule, though. We were talking about this earlier.
But now it looks like it's starting to be enforced.
It's always been in the contract. If your employment changed, we can make changes to your mortgage.
Guys, now I'm getting angry. One second. You have a family. You know, mm-hmm, regular family. They bought a house 2 years in. They have a kid, right? One parent goes on mat leave, but that's like if we're talking about risk.
No, but I don't think that's going to be the case. That's short term risk, right?
So no, but if what if the parent doesn't go back?
Well, that's long term.
That's always been applicable, though, right?
That's long term risk.
You go on mat leave,
but yeah, but guys, come
now
on,
look, like, hey, I'm just giving you examples of scenarios that we're hearing, right?
Yeah.
So here's the reality. The reality is the stress is happening. Also, the reality is when we identified this in February and we started talking to lenders,
yep,
everybody was making it sound like this was a non-issue.
Everyone was like, what is
that? But there was one lender in particular where, unfortunately, we won't name, but we spoke to one of the top 5 executives and behind closed doors with no mics and confirmation we were not going to divulge the information that what he was telling us, he made it very clear that he was losing his freaking mind.
Yeah, of course.
He was stressing out.
Because he
told us the industry is stressing out because the interpretation of this is really, really unknown. This is uncharted territory. No one's done this ever, sure, in our industry. And we built a whole freaking economy on credit.
And here's the other thing, too. Like, these new rules are to take effect in 2018. However...
Fiscal year.
Right. Fiscal year.
At the end of fiscal.
So a lot of the lenders, their fiscal year starts November 1st.
Yeah.
A lot of the monolines are December 30th.
You know what is, you know, a blessing in disguise is, and I think this is a stat, 47% or 48% of all mortgages in Canada are to renew this year, 2018.
Yeah, but it's not going to solve it if they're going to start doing annual reviews.
I understand that, but, you know, it's if we know this is going on, you know, why aren't people talking about it?
Because I think everyone's afraid of it. Like, let's face it, the banking, no one wants to talk about it because people will be panicking.
But that's like saying panicking. I'm afraid there isn't enough information.
People will be panicking about it. Like, no lender wants to go out and create a mass hysteria. So they're going to try to implement this as slowly and as leisurely as possible. But here's the case is, look, we had a team meeting in Vancouver last week.
Yeah.
And in that team meeting, very casually, we brought up this conversation and two people came up and said, you know, in an open forum, you know, this is kind of surprising because I just got asked from my credit card company to provide income documents.
Sure.
So they got asked, one was an American Express and the other one was a Visa.
Yeah.
You know, we're at that meeting, one of our agents who works a lot with seniors actually brought up something that was a new case and she was kind of puzzled by it. And now she's like, this maybe makes sense. She had a scenario where a client was asked for reasons why they weren't paying down their line of credit. The bank went to them and said, hey, your line of credit has never been paid down in the last whatever months. Why aren't you paying it down?
It's funny that
we want income documents. The client's like, I'm a retired senior. That's why I'm not paying it down. And they called the line of credit. They gave him 60 days to get out.
I had the exact same scenario.
We had to move into a chip mortgage.
I had a scenario where very similar to that. And I spoke to the lender, and I won't name the lender. He said that internally what we're doing is if you have a secure line of credit and you've only been making interest-only payments, like you mentioned, and we've noticed that your balance is getting very close to the limit and you've just been making interest-only payments, we can and have been notifying clients that we're converting it to a loan or a mortgage where it'll force you to pay it down. He's like, that's already happening.
So, but this and this
other wait a clients, second. Do they force a rate on them too?
Well, I mean, the rate will be whatever the rate is.
I don't know. Whatever their rates are at the time, you hope that they're going to be reasonable with pricing, right?
Hopefully it's
you
not
know?
Too bad.
But here's the reality. This is a reality. Lenders are now going to start doing more due diligence, right? And we're hearing more and more cases of this, and I think we're going to hear more of this moving forward. So as a consumer, I think the thing you have to ask yourself is, okay, let's make sure your credit is in good standing. So check your credit rating.
Yeah.
Know where you stand. Yeah. And remember, when you go on those public sites and like Credit Karma and stuff like that,
the free ones,
whatever you see there, take another 5% off that rating because that's your real rating.
Yeah.
And then, you know, make sure your taxes are up to date. Make sure your employment records are up to date. If you have rental properties, make sure your lease is up to date. Make sure you're filing the income in a proper manner. And then talk to your broker. Talk to your financial analyst and have them do a review for you to determine what your options are just in case your lenders right now come back and create a stress point and say that we're not going to renew or we're going to charge a premium. Because that's the other thing we're hearing. We're hearing lenders say, hey,
yeah,
we're not going to screw the market over and start calling everyone's loans. But what we might do is, some lenders said that they might do is just simply increase the interest rate to cover the reserve cost, because if you're gonna, if they're gonna have to keep more money in reserves, that reduces their bottom line. They're gonna make you pay for it.
Actually, we had a AAA big bank, one of the top five, renew a client. One of their options was 5 or 6%.
Well, that was a lender that
was this year.
That was earlier in the year, and that client, we'll talk about a scenario. That client, that was my client. They moved to the U.S. And when they got their renewal, the bank reached out to them. They confirmed that they were no longer residing in Canada and their renewal offer was only one offer. It was like something like 6%. Take it or leave it. It wasn't any, they didn't offer them anything else because that specific lender doesn't really have a non-resident program.
Right. So did the lender know he did not have a choice anywhere
No,
else?
The lender reached out to him and just asked the question, right?
So here's
That's the other thing. If lenders are coming out to you, don't voluntarily give information without knowing the consequences of it.
No, exactly.
Have a review.
But here's the thing. We're saying be proactive. And, and I can just imagine people walking into their branches or talking to, you know, their financial planner or XYZ. And the branch or the financial planner or mortgage broker, mortgage agent, whatever you want to call it, them kind of downplaying it. Because honestly, there's not enough.
But I think they're downplaying it because they don't even know about it.
They don't know about it.
But that's what I'm trying to say.
Most people don't even know about this at all.
But that's
when
my
first mentioned it. They're like, you can't talk about this on stage. I've never even heard of this. I'm like, this is actually happening though. And then a lot of people are like, this is crazy. There's no way the government will allow banks to just start, you know, increasing rates and kicking people off. That's not realistic.
But well, like, again, like we said, lenders are being very quiet about it because I think it's like, you know, nobody wants to shock the market. But something is coming, that's for sure. What's the consequence? I don't know. Now, I would say, now, maybe people are going to say, oh, you're saying this because you're a mortgage broker. But as a mortgage broker, I would say, hey, look, if I had an opportunity to go speak to a banker where I hold my mortgage, which is now where your risk is as an individual, you go there and you disclose something that you're probably not supposed to, you now may find yourself in a situation where your interest rate or your mortgage is being called or your rate's going up. Or you have an opportunity to go meet with your mortgage broker who has a financial understanding of your portfolio, who has a background in financial advisory.
And more options.
And sit down with them and say, look, let's stress test my portfolio, see what my options are. So I wouldn't recommend to go to your bank. I'd recommend to sit down either with your financial planner and a mortgage agent, or your, or just sit down with your mortgage agent if your mortgage agent understands what your risks are. And we can then come back with a strategy just in case a lender doesn't renew you.
Sure.
You know, I think the reality is a mortgage agent with good ethics is not going to try to move your mortgage for the sake of moving it. We're going to wait for that renewal to come in, but we should have a plan B.
Well, not just that, but you know, you as a consumer, you still have to, you know, somewhat educate yourself and empower yourself with information. It's not just like, hey, I don't know.
Here's the rate. I'm going
to
take it.
Should I refinance now and wait to renew? Like, you have to be able to ask your mortgage professional questions to ensure that it is really your move and you're not just acting out of fear. I mean, you know, you have to educate yourself. It's just that simple.
Oh, yeah. I think we should, you know, as you know, sort of negative as this topic is, and you know, there's a lot more information that will come out. I think, but at the end of the day, my personal opinion, and you guys have your own comments, but is I don't think it'll be, you know, every single person who's up for renewal is going to be devastated. I think at the end of the day, what banks are trying to do is they'll do a soft hit. If there's something wrong with your credit, they'll do some additional review, and they'll say, you know what, Chris, your credit is really, really low. Mm-hmm. We need to do a full application, make sure that you still qualify. But I think for the average person, this is why we're seeing only hints of this, the average person should be fine. But the person who's over-leveraged themselves, overexposed themselves, has had some issues recently with credit, those are the ones that really seriously need to look into this as a priority.
So yeah, my only concern with that argument or that statement is that, you know, sometimes people get into a credit crunch, if you want to call it that. Temporarily, you know.
Yeah, of course.
So just because your credit score got lowered, or maybe you're just starting your own business and you're leveraging.
You're the most exposed at that moment in time, so you need to make sure you've got a plan.
But it's not just your credit score.
No, it's
your activity with your credit.
Sure.
Amounts of properties.
It's the income that you're reporting.
So it's the value, how you're reporting
your income. Value of properties
can become
an issue, right? In places like Alberta, where we've seen volatility in values, that can become a problem. There's just a lot of risk. So I think as a consumer, understand that you're no longer just going to get, here's your renewal, don't worry about it. There's a high probability that you're going to be asked some questions. Right. So prepare yourself. I think that's the message that we have to
get. I think the questions can be minor. Hey, Dave, are you still employed?
Prepare yourself.
Or it could be a full-on application, which I've seen both scenarios.
Is there anything else you guys want to touch base on?
No, I think that's it. I think it's... Otherwise, we're going to keep dragging this. Look at how long we've been talking.
I think
13 minutes. We got 2 more minutes.
I think there'll be a lot more information available. And as we have it, we'll do another rant on it with a little bit more insight. And but I think the message is pretty clear. Educate yourself. Speak with someone. Get a mortgage broker on board, a financial planner, to understand where you stand and start planning for this possibility.
And it's something that we say all the time. It's empower yourself, right? It's your livelihood. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Hugo.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you guys next week.
Cheers.